This is part B of session six. We've talked about what is an overcomer. Desperately important lesson. This is a continuation of chapter 12. Now let's talk about something that's really, really important, which is overcoming the enemy. We've talked about what it means to overcome the world. We said it was to make faith choices to apply his word. That's how we overcome the world. Make faith choices to apply his word. We overcome the flesh by making faith choices to nail our sin and self to the cross. So just think of the world as the way we overcome the world is by the word of God, and we overcome the flesh by the cross of Christ. Okay, what about the enemy of our souls? How do we overcome him? First of all, we need to recognize that we're living in the enemy's territory. If any of you haven't recognized that, this is the enemy's territory. He is the prince of this world. This world belongs to him. The whole reason Jesus Christ came was to bring an end to Satan's rule here and to free those held by his power. The whole reason Jesus came was to bring an end to Satan's rule and to free those held by the enemy's power. The victory over the enemy, therefore, is really, hear me carefully, the victory of Christ. The victory over the enemy is the victory of Christ. He's the one who overcomes the devil, not us. He's the one that overcomes the devil now. But because he lives in us, Christ has given us his authority and his power, which is what we've been talking about, to overcome the enemy. My scripture is Revelation 12:11. Write that one down because we are really, sorry, a little slow on the take here. Revelation 12:11 is the scripture that we're really going to talk about, because the way we overcome the enemy is by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by loving not our lives unto death. And that's a scripture we're going to take apart over the next half an hour or so. What this is saying is that the way we overcome the enemy is by applying Christ's blood, by speaking forth his word, and by experiencing a co-death with Christ on the cross. Simply, that's what it says. By applying Christ's blood, speaking forth his word, and experiencing a co-death with Christ on the cross. And again, it's Revelation 12:11. But before we get into the specifics of exactly how we do those three things, which I want to take apart and learn, I want to reemphasize the importance of the authority and power that God has given us. Because when we're talking about overcoming the enemy, we need to understand the authority and power that God has given us. Most of us as Christians do not understand this. And in dealing with the enemy, this is really, really important. We said earlier that the authority to make faith choices and the power to implement that choice in our lives are the keys to the kingdom. Let me prove that. Matthew 16:19 explains, and it says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you will loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, I've wrestled with this area of binding and loosing the enemy for most of my Christian life and never really understood it. So I want you to take what I'm going to share here, what the Lord's shown me, and take it back to the Word, and you prove it by the Word. You see what the Spirit says to you. You have the same Spirit of God that I do. See what the Spirit of God shows you. The word bind, B-I-N-D, in this scripture is the word deo, D-E-O, In the Greek. It means to forbid, to refuse, to not allow, to shut the door, to bring into subjection. The word bind means to refuse. Let's just put it simply. The word bind means to say no. The word bind means to say no. It's fascinating to me that the word overcome is often used interchangeably with the word to bind. Matthew 12:29, how can a man, one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind, overcome the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. The word loose, L-O-O-S-E, is the word luo, L-U-O in Greek, and it means to permit. to open, to allow. The word loose can simply mean say yes. Bind means say no. Loose means say yes. Binding and loosing, in my opinion, you check me out, in my opinion, are simply Hebrew idioms for exercising the Lord's authority and power. Binding and loosing are simply Hebrew idioms for exercising the Lord's authority and power. And I assume it's in the Greek also. It's Christ's authority and his power, but because we belong to him, he lives in us, and we are sanctified, we've made those faith choices, we have his authority to bind the enemy, forbid the flesh, and refuse the world. I believe we've always applied binding and loosing just to the enemy. I believe it has a broader application. It's the keys to the kingdom. I believe it has a broader application. We have the authority and power of Christ not only to bind the enemy, which we're going to learn about, but to forbid the flesh, which is, again, say no to the flesh, and also to refuse the world, say no to the world. And then we have his authority to loose, permit, say yes, and allow the supernatural power of God to permeate that situation. Think of the charts that we've shown all along before. If we make a faith choice, that beam of light comes forth. Okay, we say yes to the Spirit of God, it comes forth. We make a faith choice, lay ourselves down, that Spirit of God comes forth. If we say no, make an emotional choice, we quench the Spirit, that dark shadow comes forth, and then we are saying no to the Spirit of God permeating that situation. Yes or no, it's our continual choice. Okay, how then are these the keys to the kingdom? Let me kind of take you through a little exercise here if we can. Down through the ages, God has given his authority and his power, and we're just kind of making a detour here, and then I'm going to come back to what it means to overcome the enemy. But down through the ages, God has given his authority and power not only to Jesus and to many of his disciples and to various prophets and chosen men of God. These men have had his authority to say what was permitted, and they've had the authority to say what was forbidden. God has given certain godly men throughout history, including obviously his son Jesus, the authority to say what's permitted and what is forbidden. Adam Clark wrote a commentary about Matthew 16:19, binding and loosing. And he says, very interesting, he says, when the Jews confirmed a man as a doctor of law, they actually put into his hands the keys to the closet in the temple where all of the sacred books were kept. They actually gave him keys to the temple where all the sacred books were kept, signifying that they were giving him the authority to teach what was permitted and to teach what was forbidden. These keys were a symbol of the delegated authority and the badge of office. These keys that they gave to these doctors of law were a symbol of the delegated authority and the badge of the office. In like manner, I believe, as sanctified believers, we have that same personal and authority over the temple of our bodies, over the temple of our bodies. We have a God's authority to forbid or bind what we know is against his will, and we have his authority to permit or loose what we know is his will. We have, over the temple of our bodies, we have the authority and the power to bind and to loose, to forbid or to permit, to say no or to say yes. In general terms, and I'm making this in general terms now, it's somewhat similar to what Ephesians 4:22-24 tells us. We all know putting off the flesh, putting on the Spirit, saying no to the flesh, saying yes to the Spirit. I believe it's the same kind of thing. We're binding the enemy, loosing the Spirit of God into the situation. In other words, by faith, we're forbidding, refusing the self-life. We're permitting or allowing God's life to come forth. This authority and power truly is the keys to the kingdom because of the chain reaction that occurs. I'm going to show you this chain reaction. You know, it says there in Matthew 16, it's binding and loosing is the keys to the kingdom. I want to see how that works to become the keys to the kingdom. Okay, number one, if we choose by faith in the authority of God to bind or just say no to the old man, put off the old man, bind, forbid, refuse the old man, all the same thing, then we're going to be sanctified. Then we're going to be able to allow, permit, say yes, put on Christ's life, partake of his life, which will then allow us to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, produce fruit, because Jesus is the one that's going to produce it through us, which will then allow us not only to enter the kingdom, but also inherit the kingdom, which will then allow us to co-reign with Christ, which is the mark of the high calling, which is the hope of our salvation, and the tree of life. You connect the two by saying no to the flesh, putting off the old man. Look at the chain reaction that occurs. Making faith choices by the authority and power of God leads to sanctification, which leads to partaking, which leads to overcoming, which leads to inheriting. Truly the keys to the kingdom. But what happens when we don't put off the old man, when we don't say no to the old man? We succumb to our own sin and ourself. We succumb to the old man. We're not sanctified. We don't say no to him. Then we quench God's life. Remember that chart we had? We quenched God's life. It's the dark shadow that comes forth. We block his love and his power from coming forth. This is moment by moment. This isn't, I'd love to be able to do this once in the morning and stay that light all day long. That would be fabulous, but it's moment by moment by moment. I'm just trying to show you the importance of our faith choices. It's faith choices that allow this whole thing to work. Someone said at break, they said, oh, there's so much to do. No, Jesus does it all. You just make the faith choice. That's why I'm hammering it so at home this time, is our faith choice is our responsibility. You do that, the rest of these will follow. Anyway, we'll quench God's life. We won't partake of his life if we've not said no to the old man, which will then allow us to be overtaken by the world, the flesh, and the devil. No fruit will be produced, which prevents us from inheriting the kingdom, which prevents us from co-reigning with Christ, which then defers the hope of our salvation and makes our hearts sick, just like that Proverbs told us 3 or 4 weeks ago. Defers the hope of our salvation, makes our hearts sick, and then we run around trying to find meaning and purpose in every other thing. And we've missed the whole reason we've been called, which is to be an overcomer, which is to know how to put off the old man so all these things, that chain reaction will occur. And it becomes the keys to the kingdom. So when we don't make faith choices by the authority and power of God, no sanctification occurs, no partaking of Christ occurs, no overcoming occurs, no inheriting will occur, and then having positions of authority in the coming kingdom will probably be out of sight. You enter it. All of those that maybe weren't here the first 2 or 3 sessions, we all are saved. It's eternal security. We all enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the overcomers are the ones that are going to enjoy positions of responsibility there. So you can see, making faith choices by the authority and power of God are truly the keys to the kingdom. They really are. That's our responsibility. Don't get overwhelmed by all the things that you're hearing. You make the faith choices and you watch God work it out. Remember my story at Tahoe. I just can't tell you the emotions I went through there. And yet, because I laid them down and choose by faith, didn't feel it, didn't want to make it, wanted to push Chuck and knock him around. But I made faith choices. God used it for good and turned a horrible situation around into a good situation. Faith choices are the keys to the future kingdom. Okay, so let's go back to then binding and loosing, overcoming the enemy. Binding and loosing, forbidding and permitting are not only God's way of overcoming the world and the flesh, my opinion, but also, I believe, of equipping the believer to overcome the enemy. Equipping the believer to overcome the enemy. Because the devil is a spirit, however, we can only fight him in the spiritual dimension. You can't fight the devil if you're full of self. If you've got fleshly things going on, forget fighting the devil. He's already won. You need to be clean. You need to be open. You need to be sanctified before you're able to fight the devil. If we are sanctified and thus in Jesus' name, you know, we always make our prayers in Jesus' name. What does that really mean? Jesus' name means when that beam of light's coming forth. I am in Jesus' name. If that dark shadow is there, you can't put in Jesus' name there. Because Jesus is quenched in your, just like that scripture told us, the love of God is quenched in our hearts. So in Jesus' name, remember that it's got to be that. You've got to make faith choices, so it's his life coming forth in Jesus' name. Then we can bind the enemy in our lives and loose the Holy Spirit to permeate the situation. Now, I'm only speaking of personal application here. I don't believe we can bind the enemy or loose the spirit in someone else's life. Each of us must choose to do this, in my opinion, for ourselves. We can pray and ask Jesus to bind the enemy in that other person's life, and that he, Jesus, would loose the spirit to come forth. And this will help, but I still believe that individual person himself must make the choice to be totally set free. To be totally set free. We can come around them, we can pray for them, we can ask Jesus to intercede, we can ask Jesus to bind the enemy, we can ask Jesus to loose the Holy Spirit, but that person themselves needs to make the choice. They have the authority and power, they don't need to feel it, to release and to bind the enemy in themselves and to release the things that the enemy's been holding on to. We can also ask Jesus to bind the enemy and loose the Holy Spirit in difficult situations that we're facing or in conversations that we have that we know. Maybe you're going to meet with somebody that's really difficult. Try binding the enemy and loosing the Spirit before you do that. Or any relationship that you're encountering that's difficult. Try that. I've been trying that. My life is changing in some areas because I'm binding the enemy before I go into that situation and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to just permeate that situation. And I'll tell you, it's night and day difference. Which brings us to one of the reasons why I think we don't see more victories for Christ in the area of overcoming the enemy. The answer is obvious. Many of us don't understand the authority and power we have in Christ. We haven't understood that these are the keys to the kingdom. The authority and power that Jesus has given us are the keys to the kingdom. Many of us, me included, have seen the abuses in the area of binding and loosing, and therefore we have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. We've seen some of the abuses where they're way off to the extreme. We go, oh, no, no, no. So we go to the other extreme and we miss the balance that Jesus has for us. Therefore, we've not been able to overcome the enemy in our personal lives, let alone help others to overcome him. And as a result, instead of overcoming, many of us have been overcome. Now, there's a couple of specific overcoming scriptures about overcoming the devil that we want to look at. Let's return to Revelation 12:11, and let's find out specifically what it means to overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and by loving not our lives unto death. This is a powerful scripture, and I think a lot of us maybe quote it. Do we really understand it? The blood of the Lamb means we must not only be born again. The blood of the Lamb means we not only must be justified by Christ's blood, we must also have personally applied his blood to our own sin and self and are presently sanctified. I believe that blood of the Lamb means we must have also personally applied his blood to our own sin and self and have been presently sanctified. In other words, we're appropriating the cleansing that Jesus has already done for us. We're appropriating it. The word of our testimony, there's a big one. Here I am 50 years as a Christian, just now beginning to understand what that really means. Word of our testimony, I believe, means we must know how to use the power and authority that God has given us to bind, forbid, and prevent the enemy entrance to our souls, and also to know how to use that authority to pull down, cast down any strongholds that are already there. The word of our testimony means we must know how to use the power and authority God has given us, not only bind and forbid the enemy entrance to our souls, but also to know how to use that authority to pull down any strongholds that are already in our lives. In other words, we need to know God's word in order to speak it forth in power. So that's what I think the word of our testimony really means. We must know God's word in order to speak it forth in power. Finally, loving not our lives unto death. Loving not our lives unto death simply means we must be willing to surrender, relinquish, and lay down any self-life that God reveals to us so that Christ's life can come forth. Just means we need to exchange lives with him. I choose by faith, not feelings, to give you Everything I'm feeling, everything I am, my emotions, my thoughts, my abilities, I lay that down. And in exchange, he says, thank you, and he gives me back his life. 1 Corinthians 15:31, you might add, I didn't get a chance to put that in the scripture. I got that on the way here this morning. 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily, which is what Paul said. And that's exactly what loving not our lives unto death, I believe, means. Being willing to exchange lives with Christ continually. As mentioned before, there are many Christians who object to using the terms binding and loosing in regards to the enemy because of the abuses that they have seen in this area, and I understand that. However, they do embrace the scripture 1 Peter 5:9. If you ask any mainline Christian church, they would say, absolutely, 1 Peter 5:9, that's the way that you bind the enemy, the way that you overcome the enemy. The scripture says that we stand firm and we resist the devil, and when we do this, the enemy will flee from us. The word to resist here means to stand against, to oppose. Well, I love that scripture, but okay, tell me how to do that practically. That sounds great. How do I do that? How do I stand against him? How do I oppose him so he will flee from me? I believe it's by doing two things. Number one, by using the authority and power Christ has given us to forbid, refuse the enemy entrance to our souls. And number two, by allowing the Holy Spirit of power to fill our lives, causing the enemy to flee. That beam of light. So we're really saying the very same thing with standing firm and resisting as we are with binding and loosing. I really believe we're saying no to the flesh, no to the world, no to the enemy, and we're saying yes to Jesus Christ, yes to the power of God, yes to the Spirit to come forth in all his power and be an overcomer through us. And I think we're really saying the same thing, binding and loosing. Check those terms out. In addition, I also believe we have God's authority and power to dissolve, break up, and cast down any strongholds that have already been established in our lives. And we all have strongholds in our lives. All of us do. This is where we come across old memories, past rejection, lifelong insecurities, crippling fears. All of us have insecurities that we hold on to. These are things we've simply pushed down, put the smile on, I'm a Christian, everything is wonderful, and we've really never dealt with them. And we've really never dealt with them. And the enemy has said, thank you very much, I gotcha. If we leave the strongholds in there, he's got holes that he can use to manipulate us and to use us. The way we get rid of those strongholds is asking the Holy Spirit to come in, shine his light on those strongholds. When he shows us one stronghold, then you go through those four sanctification steps and you get rid of it as far as the east is from the west. Don't you push it down again. God won't make you have to go through it again or live through it again or all the things that some of the psychologists and therapists are telling us. No, he shows us the reason why you're fearful now. Thank you for showing us that. We have to understand that undealt with surface issues like resentment, anger, and unforgiveness can easily become root issues or strongholds of bitterness, discouragement, and depression if not addressed. If we don't address them, and most of the time we didn't understand we're supposed to address them. So the only thing you can do to preserve yourself is you push them down. You put the smile on. If you don't understand the power and authority you have in Christ to dissolve these hideouts and to forbid the enemy and replace them with God's Spirit, we become perfect targets for the enemy's more intrusions. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6. Says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, that means looking at it, every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Having a readiness to revenge all disobedience. When your obedience is fulfilled. That readiness to revenge all disobedience, put down there on your notes, that's simply those four steps to overcoming the flesh that we talked about. Acknowledging, confessing and repenting, giving to God, and replacing it with his word. That's our readiness to revenge all disobedience. I would really recommend you get, if you don't know those four steps or haven't heard those four steps, get Be Transformed or Way of Agape, because I really go into those four steps in detail. And those four steps need to be first response for you, a first reaction for you. Rather than emotionally go off down the stream, you need to remember, okay, I'm going to acknowledge that what the guy just said, that hurt me. Okay, I'm going to confess it. God, that really hurt me. I'm going to repent of it simply means I don't want to follow that hurt. I want to follow what you want me to do. Third one, I give that hurt to you. Fourth one, you put scripture back in where that hurt has been. And you might have to fight the enemy for a while as it becomes a mind battle before your emotions are aligned with the choice that you've made. So get those books, because those four steps are your readiness to revenge all disobedience. Write them out on a 4x5 or a 3x5 card. Keep it with you all the time till you know those steps by heart. That's your readiness to revenge all disobedience. Casting down in this 2 Corinthians scripture simply means demolishing, taking down for oneself, putting down with force, destroying. But first we have to ask the Lord to expose these strongholds. Again, don't you go around saying, I know I've got something in there, and you get be so self-centered. No, you say, God, I give you permission to show me what's in there. And then you go about your business. And God will, because he loves you and he wants you free. He wants you to be an overcomer. He will show you those things in his timing and his way. I think if he showed us all of the things we have inside of us, we'd probably be dead. We probably couldn't handle it. But he knows the perfect timing and the perfect way to bring them up, to give you understanding of why you're acting the way you're acting now. And then, rather than push it down again, you bring it up, you look at it, you confess it, repent of it, give it to God, and replace it with his word. By doing this, the four steps of sanctification, that readiness to revenge all disobedience, we will destroy the deception around which the strongholds are built. I just found a new scripture that just blew my mind. It's Isaiah 44:20. And it's amazing now as you're a lot of you are coming to say, now that you are understanding the kingdom more and you're understanding the purpose and meaning of your life more, the Bible is just coming alive to you. And that's what's happened to me in the last year and a half as I've gotten into this material. But Isaiah 44:20 is an incredible scripture in regards to what we've been talking about here. It says here, it talks about a deceived heart that makes us unable to deliver our soul. A deceived heart makes us unable to deliver our soul. In other words, if our spirit is quenched and our heart is covered with that dark shadow that we talked about, we'll not be able to recognize the lies that are keeping us captive. If we've got that dark shadow up there, we've made those emotional choices, we've quenched the spirit, dark shadows coming forth, we're not going to be able to recognize the deception that is keeping us captive. And that to me is scary. To me, there's a scripture too, and I can't bring it up right now, where it is talks about your conscience getting seared. I think that's close to what it's saying here. You continue to be that dark shadow. Pretty soon, you're not going to recognize, you're going to be sensitive to other people, you're not going to be sensitive to the spirit, you're going to deceive yourself. And the enemy is just going to have a heyday with you. You're not going to recognize the deceptions that are going on in your own life. That's why it's important to ask God to expose what's going on inside. He is the only one who can shed a light on the breaches of the enemy. Ask God. Just give him permission. And then we, by the power and authority, faith choices that God's given us, confess and repent of them when he brings them up. And then Christ will cleanse us, refill us, and empower us with his spirit. Remember, when you confess and repent, when you confess it, when you're honest with God, which is incredible to be honest with God, and it allows you to be honest with others, your slate is clean. He cleans your slate. He cleans it. Fresh start, new start. It's one of the things I've been doing for the last 25 years. I've been going through these four steps every morning. So every morning I have a new start. I have a new slate. He wipes my slate clean. I got enough for the day that happens in that day. But it's not like I'm building up. I get clean every morning. I deal with everything that happened the day before. I get clean. He gives us a new start. And Christ will cleanse us, refill us, and empower us with his spirit. This is where the overcoming dunamis power, this is that spiritual power that God gives us, that we talked about in the fourth session. God gives us the Kratos power to overcome the emotions. That's the emotional strength. He gives us the ichthus, I can't pronounce it, I-S-C-H-U-S, power, which is the physical power to overcome the world. And he gives us then the dunamis, spiritual power, to overcome the enemy. So there are three stages of warfare that we need to be aware of. Three stages in conclusion here in order to be overcomers. And in the physical realm, we must learn to wage war against the world and all of its temptations by choosing to love God, agapeo, totally give ourselves over to God, making faith choices to apply his word. Love God, make a faith choice, applies his word. That's how we overcome the world and the temptations in it. And we do this, like I said, by the physical strength that God has given us to overcome the world, that physical ichthus strength that God has given us to overcome the world. Number two, in the soulish realm, we learn to do warfare against the flesh and the power of sin that dwells within by choosing to make faith choices, to daily go to the cross, Take everything that God shows us for that day to the cross. And we do that by the emotional strength, that Kratos power of God to rein in. Remember we talked about Kratos, the definition is to rein in our souls. He's given us power, emotional power, to rein in our souls so that we can overcome in this area, overcome the flesh. Thirdly, in the spiritual realm, we learn to do battle against the spiritual forces of the enemy by making faith choices to bleed the blood of Christ, to use the power and authority God has given us to speak forth God's word. That's our testimony. And number three, to love not our lives unto death. In other words, to have death to self. And we do that again by the spiritual strength that God has given us and that dunamis power that he has given us to overcome the enemy. And then at this point, we can put on the armor of God. And in the book, there's a whole section on the armor of God, which is desperately important. But don't put on the armor of God until you're sanctified. Need to be sanctified first. Need to go through all of these things first. Then you put the armor of God on. Got to be in the spiritual realm in order to fight the spiritual enemy. So you can see the critical importance of surrendering every negative emotion, every self-centered thought, every selfish desire, every attitude, every fear, every stronghold inside and out that might create opportunities for the enemy to use. I think the world, the flesh, and the devil, they all kind of work together. You give the enemy a hole in your flesh. He says, thank you. He's got you. You're open then for worldly temptations. They all spiral down. So we need to give him everything inside and out that might create opportunities for the enemy to use. Satan, listen to me carefully. Satan does not fear intellectual understanding of spiritual things. Hear me? He doesn't fear doctrine. Satan. Satan fears Christian overcomers. Those who understand the power and authority they have in Christ, because this reveals Satan's total inability to overcome Christ. Overcomers, those that are living it, those that are really living examples of this, overcoming, reveals Satan's total inability to overcome Christ or to defeat Christ. Therefore, the victory of Christ then is not only that he defeated and overcome Satan, but that he overcame the world and the power of sin as well. And as believers, because Christ lives in us, we have that same personal authority and power to overcome. This is key not only to our lives here on earth, it's key to inheriting the kingdom. It's the keys, this power and authority is the keys to the kingdom of God. Scripture tells us that we will not be able to inherit the millennial kingdom without being an overcomer. We can't be an overcomer without being sanctified. We can't be sanctified without making faith choices. And we can't make faith choices without knowing the power and authority we have in Christ. Keys to the kingdom. No to the enemy, no to the world, no to the flesh, yes to the Spirit of God. We have his power, Jesus' power and authority to continually refuse the world, forbid the flesh, and bind the enemy. And this is what I believe Revelation is talking about when he says, this is the preparation, Revelation 19, that God wants us to incorporate in our lives so we are ready for his soon return. Okay, well, next week we are going to have quite a session. We're going to talk about the millennium and how the glory returns to the temple. We're going to talk about the changes in the land of Israel. We're going to talk about the parable of the 10 virgins and how Jesus says, I know you not. Going to talk about our bridal preparations. Going to talk about what is this narrow gate for Christians? Is there a narrow gate for Christians? What is the rest of God? There's a rest of God here. There's also a rest of God in the kingdom. And how are we to labor? That's what Scripture says, labor to enter that rest. That's next week. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then we're going to have a short video after the prayer. So let's all go before the Lord, and let's pray. Father God, this message is so critically important. It's taken me 50 years to learn this message experientially, and I'm still in and out, in and out. So I pray, God, that you would take my experience. And as best I could, I shared it today, Father, in Scripture, and I pray that you would take this experience and you would help my brothers and sisters, my sons and daughters in the audience to learn this from me. Don't make the mistakes that I've made, Father. Learn, Lord, let them learn how to bind and loose the enemy quickly, Father. It's truly the keys to the kingdom. Overcomers are the ones that have joy and peace and confidence in you, Jesus, when everything in their lives are going wrong. And nowadays we see this everywhere. Everyone is being bombarded. It's like, God, you're not allowing us to be fence sitters anymore. You're pushing us to one side or the other. And in order to succeed, in order to survive, we need to be overcomers, Father. We need to know how to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need to know how to say no to the enemy. We need to know how to say no to the world and its temptations, how to say no to the flesh when it crops its evil head daily, moment by moment. Father, you have given us the power and the authority to do this, Lord. It's the power to bind and the power to loose. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would teach each of us how to make those faith choices, whether we feel like it or whether we don't, whether we see it's going to happen or not. To choose to make those faith choices. Once we do that, Father, others will see it works. In my life, you have allowed me to go through so much, and it's by those faith choices that you've gotten me through. So, Father, teach my precious brothers and sisters, daughters and sons, how to make those faith choices, because truly they are the keys to the kingdom. And we'll just praise you and thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise be to you, O Lord our God, God of our father Israel. Everlasting to everlasting, you are the ruler of all things. For yours, O Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory and the splendor. Amen. Everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all, and wealth and honor come from you, O Lord. For yours, O Lord, is a king. splendor. Yes, yours, oh Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. Your glorious name. In your hand are strength and power to exalt.